It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Jags, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, folks? I'm Tony Wiggins here, the host of Locked On Jaguars, your team every day here on the Locked On Podcast Network. 37-21, a loss in Houston for Urban Meyer, Trevor Lawrence, and the entire crew yesterday. Not a good win. I don't even think the game was as close as 37-21, but we'll discuss all of that, get into it, talk people off the ledge, but then also talk a little bit of dose of reality, and it's a slap of reality in the face of all of us. I'll tell you why you can look forward to things possibly getting better, and then I can tell you why, you know, you have to have a realistic look at what's going on. So we'll discuss all of that today. I got to let you know about Locked On NFL Sunday. When you wake up in the morning, man, and you're looking for a pregame show that talks about every game and every team in depth, check out the Locked On NFL Sunday show live every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. No sketches, no celebrity cameos, no fluff, just football every Sunday morning with host Cody Rourke and Ross Jackson. Follow and subscribe to Locked On Live on Twitter, Facebook, Twitch, YouTube, and don't forget to turn on notifications to be notified when the show goes live every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. You might even see yours truly on there one of these days when we have something good to talk about or something bad to talk about. I'm here in the Wiggins studio, the confines of Wiggins studio here on North Florida today. Okay, let's talk about what happened yesterday. They got mollywopped. That's it. And you can look at this two ways. It was a dose of reality in one way. It's a slap in the face of reality to let you know that this is a process. Or you can say it, you can look at it like this. Last year, the Jaguars with Gardner Minshew and about 78 rookies went out and beat the Colts. And then in week two, after winning against the Colts, who were a playoff team, they went out the next week and pretty much outplayed the Tennessee Titans, who ended up being a playoff team, and lost by 3 points. And then they had the historically horrible season. So if you want to reverse that, you can say, okay, well, this didn't get off to a quick start. We had a horribly slow start, but just like that team last year wasn't as good as they looked early in the week or early in the year, this team wasn't as bad as it looked yesterday. So that's the positive spin that you guys can put on it, right? Or you can look at this in an entirely different way. Urban Meyer came in with a bunch of promises, and he said there's no bad players, only bad coaches. He built a staff. They had the most money in free agency. They went out, and instead of going for big, talented players, all of them are talented, relatively speaking, I mean, they decided to sign like 13 mid-level type, you know, B-plus at best. Guys that they felt that they could coach up and make this team that was so young, give it more experience that way. Build your depth and your team up and your infrastructure of your team through free agency, but then to draft your superstar players. So far, not so good with that. And the reason why is because I'm going to show you why the line of thinking that drives me absolutely crazy from some fans. And this is the thing that we've been getting into on social media a little bit, where when you think that you can waste years in the NFL, for instance, I'll give you an example. Last year was a year where they're going to go young so they can get bad before they can get good. If this year you're still using, well, they're just young and they have to bond and it's a new coach and they, you know, it's going to take. So now, see, the average person will think, okay, that makes sense. You can rationalize anything. But I look at it as two seasons. These two seasons we're using as something to bridge to something else. When you think about what you're trying to bridge to, you have to understand something. The players that you drafted last year, come next year, they're going to be a year away, if they weren't first round picks, a year away from you having to make a decision where you're going to keep them or not. Perfect example is DJ Chark. You think DJ Chark had last year and this year to raise his profile to get a big contract for you to figure out whether you're not going to whether you're going to keep him or not? No, he doesn't. He absolutely does not. You think James Robinson, who was an undrafted rookie, who was one of the five best rookies in the league last year offensively, has this year for you to figure out whether or not? They don't. Urban Meyer, and these are his words, and I've said repeatedly in the past about this podcast, what I never do is make assumptions. I would always just hold a person's word as their value, as at face value. Urban said, this isn't about the future. This is about right now. He says, it's not important. The future isn't important. So one thing I won't subscribe to, and one thing I will always argue with against the fan is, you got to be patient. No, I don't. And no, you don't either. You don't have to be patient for a team to learn how to line up correctly. You don't have to be patient when the coach says there are no bad players, just bad coaches. You don't have to be patient when they said they have the state-of-the-art strength and conditioning program and they have thoughts on that. And he always wondered why it wasn't a more of an emphasis in the NFL. You don't have to be patient when they use their free agency capital to go out and sign 74 veterans. You don't have to listen to people that tell you that this is a young team and there's a bunch of first and second year players, when if you actually look at the depth chart and look at who starts the game, you'll see that just about every unit on the team is full of veterans except quarterback. You don't have to listen to that stuff if it's not true. I'll tell you what, imagine this. Imagine the apologist going up to Urban Meyer and the player saying, it's all right, man. We knew y'all weren't going to be good. We expected it because y'all young. Y'all just got here and they would run you out of the building. They don't want to hear that stuff. And this is what I keep talking about when I say folks are caping up for people that don't want to be caped for. There was an old song. They say, don't save us. You don't want to be saved. Why would you make an excuse for someone that doesn't make an excuse for themselves? They would rather hear somebody like me or somebody like these fans go, this is complete BS from what you guys put on the field yesterday. You know what they're going to say? You're right. They might not like the fact that you told them because you can't go out and play. But you know what? At the end of the day, if you were a fly on the wall, they would be sounding just like the fans that say that. And they would be sounding just like people like me that say, imagine going up to them and telling them, oh, it's okay that y'all got your ass whooped because we knew you was going to be sorry anyway. I'm going to break down what happened in the game. I'm going to try to give roses out to some people. And I'm going to give you my total assessment of what they need to do to retool and to come out next week and play a little bit better. And then in the third segment, I'm going to give you my long, first of all, in the third segment, I'm going to apologize to my buddies in Houston. I'm going to give you my long term, my macro view of what I think is going on here. And I'm going to also share with you some information that I kind of got through a couple of sources that I had to verify. Jason Lockenfor said that there was some turmoil going on with the coaches and people came out, and because of Lockenfor, I guess in the past, he said some things that weren't able to be verified. And, I'm going to tell you, I heard it's true. I heard it from two reliable people that it's true. It's talking about Urban Meyer and how he may treat his coaches and some of the things that he says. And I had to verify it yesterday. I didn't want to, but after the game, I got a text. So I did some research, and it turns out that, well, I can't necessarily say it's true, but what I will tell you is this. The person that told me is really, really plugged in, and they have no reason to lie. All right, so we'll talk about that in segment number three. But, man, we got to get to it here on Locked On Jaguars on a Monday. Not the victory that we all anticipated, and not so much as the victory. It's just not really the way that we thought they would play. They just did not look like they came out of training camp ready to go. We'll discuss it more here on Locked On Jaguars in just a second. Football season is back, and let the most of it be with a better way to create your custom pool at runyourpool.com, the premier sports pool hosting service. Run Your Pool makes it ridiculously easy to run a football pool in your office with your friends, family, or office mates. They offer dozens of formats, including Survivor, Pick'em, Squares, Margin, Confidence Pools, 33, and more. Run your pool host formats for NFL and college football with one-week games, full season, playoffs, or the Super Bowl. Unlike other fantasy sports platforms, Run Your Pool has options and settings to make it your own. You can even brand your pool for your local business, bar, or your restaurant. Reconnect with friends and join nearly 2 million football fans to make every game action-packed this season. Check them out today and get $10 off at runyourpool.com/lockedon or use your promo code locked on at checkout. Anywhere, everywhere in the world, Run Your Pool helps friends and colleagues compete. The NFL season starts September 9th, yesterday, or actually it was Thursday. So start today at runyourpool.com/lockedon and have your pool up and running in minutes. Runyourpool.com/lockedon. Now that's a weekly thing. So you can, even if you didn't do it already, you can start here in week two as week two starts in the National Football League. All right, man, rolling along here in segment two, Locked On Jaguars, 37-21 loss yesterday in Houston to the Texans. Silver lining, Trevor Lawrence looks like he's the real deal. And I think he started to play hero ball a little bit. And that's why it led to those interceptions. But I saw a kid that was willing to fight and a kid that was willing to do whatever it took he didn't look afraid. And those guys that have been Jaguar fans for a long time, we can go back to Blaine Gabbert where he just looked like he was a deer in headlights. You can even go to Nick Foles where Nick Foles had won a Super Bowl, Trevor did not look like that. Trevor Lawrence yesterday looked like a dude that was trying to will his team to win. And even when things went bad, he kept playing. So I don't like the fact that he was put in a position to throw 51 times, but we know they did get behind. But they came out with a game plan where they were pass heavy yesterday regardless. They came out and lined up in 11 personnel, which is one running back and one tight end and three wide receivers, which I expected, and they went for it. Thumbs down to the fact that James Robinson only had 5 carries on the day, which kind of lends itself to for you to believe that they probably aren't as high on James Robinson as we all were and the past coaching staff was, which is a head scratcher because the kid actually proved that he could play. And sometimes you have to bend towards what players do well as opposed to what you want. And maybe the Travis Etienne pick after all was because they view James Robinson as a guy who, while he played well, is more of a complimentary player on a team that's good. So but there's really no excuse for him to only get 5 carries, in my opinion. Defensively, I was a little shocked and concerned that they were not able to stop the run. They gave up 160 yards rushing yesterday to Houston. Now, the reason why I kind of went off on social media yesterday is because Houston had an offseason of pure turmoil. And we all know it's documented with Deshaun Watson and some of the things that Deshaun Watson, you know, is accused of, and the players who left, J.J. Watt, DeAndre Hopkins, future Hall of Famers, probably even Andre Johnson is a future Hall of Famer. They were all very critical of people in the front office that they didn't want there. It's been pretty much a circus. It really has been, in my opinion, from the outside looking in, one of the worst off seasons for any franchise I've seen in all of my lifetime watching football. But somehow, some way, they hired David Culley after it appears that nobody else wanted the job. David Culley's a wide receivers coach with the Ravens, longtime guy. And then they get Lovie Smith, who's been in and out of the NFL as a head coach. And then they have Romeo Cornell, who actually was the head coach in Houston for a while, who is now sort of a defensive head coach of performance or whatever. But I'm sure he's helping Lovie a lot. They flat out out-coached, out-schemed Darrell Bevell, Joe Cullen, and Urban Meyer. Those three guys, out-coached, out-schemed the Jaguars. And it was all day. It was no adjustment. Houston ran bunch formations, and guys on the Jaguars defense looked like they didn't know who to guard. And one of the keys that I gave was the Jaguars had to be able to get off the field on third down. Didn't happen. I didn't even talk about them stopping the run because I thought that that would be a no-brainer considering how much capital they've invested and what they look like in the preseason. The Jaguars couldn't even stop the run. So Tyrod Taylor, while he is a pro, and I was reminded of that by my boy Ellis last night, don't be talking about Tyrod Taylor. Guys in the NFL are good. If you're in the NFL, you're a good player. True. But the Jaguars players are in the NFL too, right? Right. So it's all relative. Tyrod Taylor, while a savvy veteran, if you look on the quarterbacks that have to play this year, it's not going to get worse than that. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Look, if you invite the top 100 high school basketball players to a camp, they're all 4 or 5-star recruits, the top 100. That 100th guy is a real high recruit. But if you measure them all, somebody's going to be ranked number one and somebody's going to be ranked number 100, right? That's the way I look at the quarterback situation in the NFL. Yeah, if you're starting quarterback in the NFL, sure, you've accomplished a lot and you can do things that not a lot of people can do. But relatively speaking, it's a comparative sport. And Tyrod Taylor is probably the worst quarterback they're going to play this year. I'm serious. The Houston Texans were in shambles. The Houston Texans are a team that, for the most part, is just like the Jacksonville Jaguars. Everything's brand new. And I know people saying, well, Urban Meyer's a brand new coach. Will y'all kill me? Miss me with that. If you ask anybody in the world 6 months ago who the better football coach was, Urban Meyer or David Culley, ain't nobody going to tell you David Culley was a better coach than Urban Meyer. Come on, man. This excuse making and this caping up has to stop. It just does. It does not make sense. They got whipped yesterday. And they're not as young as you think they are in their starting lineups. If you look up and 4 years from now, none of the guys that's on the roster right now are none of the guys that are starting, with the exception of Trevor, who's going to be there 4 years from now if the Jaguars are going to get good, right? Let's just assume that they're going to get good. Devon Hamilton? Yeah. LaVisca? Probably. ETN? Yep. Trevor? Walker Little? That's why I said this season, this free agency class, those guys signed 3-year contracts, dude. This is one of them. They got two more. They're going to re-sign them when they're 30 or 31? No, they're going to replace them with more players, and then you can still make another excuse that they're still young. Urban said it himself, there's no wasted years. So I'm not buying that. I'm not going to even talk about that as an excuse. Right now, this week, coming out here, they have to improve. It has nothing to do with teaching guys how to line up. They at one point came out of a possession change and had 12 people in the huddle. You're right. For a guy to get to the NFL, he has to accomplish something. But for a guy to get to the NFL, he's also probably been playing football since he was 7. And 7-year-olds know that you only play football with 11 people. They have to be better. They have to be better at what they do for you to even have a chance to make a real good assessment of whether or not this coaching staff, the one that Urban built, is correct. I'm going to give you some information. Jason Lockenfor had a report yesterday about turmoil with the coaching staff. I sourced out some people. I heard that those things are valid. And I'm going to tell you what I heard. I don't care if you like it. And I'm going to do it as quietly as I can and as nice as I can. It's segment 3 of a Monday edition, coming off a loss of Locked On Jaguars. So stay tuned. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's cousin's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all of that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. I love that phrase. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. I want to let you know about, this is my favorite, Built Bar. I almost got tongue-tied here because I love Built Bars. I'm going to tell you about a product that I love so much that, well, I can barely contain myself and when I'm trying to talk about it, as you can see. But Built Bar has 9 great flavors. It is covered with chocolate. It is the best tasting protein bar ever made, and it's available to you at BuiltBar.com. Now, out of the 9 flavors, everyone knows that listens to this podcast that I love the salted caramel, and then I love the raspberry. Let me tell you something, man, that peanut butter brownie is off the chain too. How do I know? Because I had one yesterday and I was mad because I wanted more and I only took one with me. It's 17 to 18 grams of protein, just 130 to 180 calories, 4 or 5 grams of sugar and 4 or 5 grams of net carbs. Man, it is off the chain. It is so good, and it's so good for you if you're trying to work out and perpetually lose weight like I am, that you'll feel like you're cheating. So go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCK15, and you're going to get 15% off your next order of Built Bars. Order today, get an assorted box, or get your favorite flavor. It's Built Bar, promo code LOCKEDON. Locked 15, and you'll get 15% off of your next order of Built Bars. All right, man, we're going to roll along here on a Monday. It's not gloom and doom. It's just week one. So at this point, what you realized is that, and what Urban Meyer has realized is, the football is more than just talk. Football is more than just, and I told you guys, and you, I don't know if you heard it. I don't know if you remember the episode, but I said, trust me, there are going to be a lot of coaches that want to prove to him that this ain't what you think it is. There's a lot of guys that have been in the NFL for a long time that, when they hear someone coming from college that thinks they have the magic formula, it's almost as if like you've been doing your job for a bunch of years and some guy comes in with new ideas, which is cool. Everybody has a fresh approach. But it almost seems like he's taking a shot at the way that you always did things too. And guys, okay, hot shot, let's go. NFL coaches are very competitive, just like the players that they coach. And there are people that just want to prove to you, no, we do this thing up here. We coach up here. There's nothing new under the sun. Football is a players' league. Okay. At some point, yeah, you can structure and you can do certain things a certain way, but mainly coaching is really becoming, you know, obviously you have to know the X's and O's, but it's also becoming about motivation and communication. Jimmy Johnson was great at that. Pete Carroll's been great at that. It is about on every level. When you notice the guys that coach the best seem like they're also the guys that are able to communicate the best. And what I mean is not to us, because to media, because Bill Belichick and Greg Popovich, probably the two best coaches in pro sports, don't seem like they really like communicating well with media, and Nick Saban either. But it's the people that can communicate with their players and the other coaches. They have to coach their other coaches and they have to communicate well with their players. Jason Lockham IV of CBS came out and basically with a sort of a scathing article that says that there's trouble in paradise here in Jacksonville because Urban Meyer rips his coaches and I don't, but paraphrase the article a little bit. You can check it out and read it yourself and just Google it. That he talks down to coaches, he does this, and you know, he threatens guys and they won't be here and this, that, and the third. So I took it a little tongue-in-cheek sometimes because I'm not ever going to call a guy a liar if he has his sources. There's been some things said in the past, you know, when I used to listen to radio here after I stopped doing radio, and they were calling the question about some of the things that Jason would say in the past. So I didn't have to do research. I wasn't going to even talk about it because it is what it is, but Somebody hit me up yesterday and said, dude, he ain't far off. So when I really was able to get on the phone with him and verify, and when I was told where the information came from, I had no doubt to not believe it. I had no reason, and I actually do believe it, that Urban is, I guess some people call it, so competitive that he wants things done the way he wants them done. And it's almost as if he's interfering with the guys that are doing their job. So he has all these coaches and it looks like he's delegating everything, but he's riding them so hard and he's not allowing them to work. I even got wind that he berates coaches in front of players, that like he loves his players, but you can't circumvent those coaches' authority. You can't do that. You can't be, now there might be people that come out and deny this, and that's fine. I'm not there. They're there. But I'm telling you, the person that told me this heard this from people who are there, and that guys are being grinded on. So what you see when you look at the product on the field and everything looks disjointed, maybe it's because guys weren't able to do the jobs the way that they wanted to do them. Or maybe you just picked the wrong people. See, when you get mad at a staff that you pick, that's on you. That's not on anybody else. There's just a different way of doing things in the NFL. This ain't college. You can't dictate, but you're not a dictator in college. For instance, if you have a problem with a veteran that has a guaranteed contract, well, you can't threaten him. He's going to get his money regardless. And if you release him, guess what? Somebody else is going to pick him up, and he's going to beat you when the next time you play him. That's just the way the game goes. It's a player's league. It's a player's league, really. But you'd be doing yourself a serious disservice if those things are true. Sometimes you have to get out of your own way. You can't do what Chip Kelly did. You can't like dictate everything, because eventually you're going to wear out your coaches. Nobody's going to want to work with you. So you can talk about players just being a destination for players all you want to, but if it's not a destination for good football coaches, then you're basically pulling the rug from under your own culture. It's one thing to be competitive, but it's another thing to be a tyrant. So I hope that stuff isn't true. I hope they play better, and I hope what you see on the field isn't a reflection of something that's going on behind the scenes. I tell you what I have a big problem with. I have a big problem with some of the personnel decisions. I have a big problem with it. It sounds like they're paying more attention to what coaches say than what the scouts tell them. And sometimes guys don't respect people that never had a whistle in their mouth. Sometimes it's a situation where, you know, maybe they spent too much time worrying about guys that they recruited. It was something that Urban said during the free agency period and during the draft period that kind of bothered me a little bit. And it was just like, how can you he asked sort of question like, it's hard to pick players when you can't spend time with them and really get to know them and really vet them the proper way. Well, guess what? It's not as if you were the only one that had those limitations. Everybody did, but nobody complained about it. See, if these are the things that are going on, if this is the way you look at stuff, like you need more time. Well, too bad. Nobody else is getting more time and they're picking guys. This team was 1-15. This team is too good. This team was not good enough to pick a guy in the second round with the 45th overall pick, and he's inactive, and he's a healthy scratch as an active player in game one. The optics of that are too bad. That has to line up differently. I'm not saying that the kid isn't good. What I'm saying is what I just said. Walker Little was inactive yesterday, and he was the 45th pick overall for a team that went 1-15. That doesn't match. That's not right. He should have been active. And if he wasn't active, then you needed to do something to make him active and coach him up better. One of the biggest gaffes was thinking that this offensive line and George Warhop were good. I don't think so. I've been saying it for 2 years, man. I don't think so. I really don't. And maybe that was a mistake. Maybe some of the staff hires were a mistake. Urban Meyer's beefing and saying, I want to do this and they won't let me do it. And they're telling me I can't do this and I want to do that. When I said y'all need to get that together before you come out here during the preseason, I meant that. And it looks like they still have those issues. Nobody was a bigger proponent of them hiring Urban Meyer than me. And I'm not upset that it might look like I got egg on my face. I don't care about that. You think I care about being embarrassed or about being wrong? Man, I've been wrong 10% of my life. No, I'm just joking. I've been wrong a lot. We all are. I don't have no problem sitting here saying, you know, I thought this would go a little bit better. I thought they would play better. I thought they would be more organized. I thought that they would, not appear to be dysfunctional. I thought that they would know how to line up. I thought that they would be disciplined and wouldn't get penalties, silly penalties. You look back at my keys to victory. I said, they got to avoid silly penalties and they got to play better. And they got to do the things that winners do. And they didn't. So we'll see if they can get it done next week. We'll see if they can get it done next week. I know you guys want them to do well. We all do. I want it for the fans. And anybody criticizing fans for being upset and saying, oh, you quitting on your team. And you cannot ever call a Jaguar fan a quitter. Calling a Jaguar fan a quitter is like calling a Navy SEAL scary. Check the history of this team. These people have been here. I had people tweeting that they've never seen that many people travel on the road as Jaguar fans did yesterday to go to Houston. Don't ever say anything bad about Jaguar fans, especially about their love and their loyalty for this team. I'm going to tell you about Locked On Bets, man. Hopefully you won some money yesterday. If you listen to the Locked On Bets podcast with your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, you'll get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. You can't go wrong. If you follow the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get podcasts. All right, man. So look, we'll be here all week. You know, it's just true serum Monday. We got to just put it out there. Disappointing for reasons that I did not expect. Like I said, roses to Trevor Lawrence. And I want to see some of those free agency additions make more plays and make more impact on this team. And we need players and leadership to step up, because it's a players league and the only way they're going to get better is to fix those things. You just want them to play better and you want them to look more competent. And there's nothing wrong with you being disappointed, and don't let anybody tell you anything differently. But we appreciate you here on Locked On Jaguars, and we thank you. It's your daily podcast. Remember, I always say, take care of each other, and we will see you again tomorrow here on Locked On Jaguars. Bye-bye.